Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily dose of the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Welcome to the show, everyone. Today is Thursday, July 9th, and we are covering the top trending stories from yesterday, July 8th, 2026. This is episode 451, and we have a really fun and diverse mix of topics today.
We really do. Today, we are going to talk about a hidden bash script found on the back of a Uniqlo t-shirt, a brand new open source chat app called Chatto that is stirring up some intense debates about AI-generated code, a massive right to repair victory against John Deere, OpenAI's new GPT live voice feature, and finally, xAI's release of Grok 4.5.
Let's dive right in with that Uniqlo shirt. This was the top story yesterday with over 1,300 points. A blogger named Tris Scherlicher wrote a highly entertaining post titled "Decoding the Obfuscated Bash Script on a Uniqlo T-shirt."
So Tris's wife showed him a T-shirt from the Uniqlo and Akamai Peace for All campaign. The front of the shirt has a cute little heart enclosed in curly braces, but the back has a massive block of alphanumeric text. Tris immediately recognized a shebang at the top of the text block and realized it was a Base64 encoded bash script being fed to an eval command.
Which is just incredible. Imagine walking into a high street retail store and buying a piece of clothing that is essentially a command line executable. He bought it, took it home, and then went through the agonizing process of trying to run optical character recognition on it. He used Android's circle to search feature, Tesseract, and even ran it through Claude to diff the results because Base64 has absolutely no error correction. One wrong character, one confused zero or capital O, and the whole thing breaks.
It is so true. Tris mentioned the good news was the string seemed intact. It had the expected padding and matching quotes. Uniqlo actually sells another Akamai shirt in that same line that has a truncated block of code ending in the letters RETU instead of return. Imagine walking around wearing a literal syntax error on your back.
The Hacker News comments on this were absolutely hilarious. Someone joked about trying to return the shirt to Uniqlo customer service because there is a syntax error on line 37, and they are deeply concerned people on the street might think they promote unsafe bash scripting.
Another commenter replied that a real script kiddie would have spotted the error before buying, which led to this great realization that the original script kiddies from the 90s are old enough to have grandkids by now. We might be looking at script grannies and script grampses out in the wild.
Getting back to the OCR struggle, a lot of the older Hacker News crowd felt a deep wave of nostalgia. They were reminiscing about the days of typing in raw code from old compute magazines 45 years ago, spending hours typing in a game, only to realize you made a typo and the screen prints a syntax error. At least those old magazines were in clear text.
There was also a really interesting tangent in the thread about typography. Someone noticed the font on the shirt looked like Roboto Mono, but the typesetting had dynamic kerning. It sparked a discussion about monospace fonts like GitHub's Monospace that use a feature called texture healing. It allows wider letters to steal space from adjacent smaller letters while staying strictly on a grid. It is those little rabbit holes that make Hacker News so great. And by the way, when decoded, the script outputs a bouncing, color-changing text animation that says peace for all. Just a really cool Easter egg by Akamai.
Speaking of cool projects, our next story is about Chatto, which is now open source. It racked up almost 1,000 points. Chatto is a group in Team Chat application built by Hendrik Manns. It is positioned as a lightweight, snappy alternative to Slack or Discord.
The big selling point here is how incredibly easy it is to self-host. It ships as a single, self-contained binary. It uses NATS as a message broker, which got a ton of love in the comments. People were saying NATS is the one piece of their infrastructure that never complains and just stays up forever.
The NATS appreciation was very real. A commenter mentioned they used NATS extensively over 10 years ago, and while other parts of their infrastructure had hiccups, NATS in Redis just stayed up without a single issue. Someone else pointed out that NATS actually has a built-in key-value store called Jetstream now, which makes it even more powerful for an app like this.
But what I found most fascinating about this thread was the intense debate around how Chatto was actually built. A commenter who knows the developer mentioned that Hendrik single-handedly developed this entire platform over the past year by leveraging agentic coding.
Oh boy, did that open a can of worms. It really highlights the current existential crisis in software development. Half the thread was amazed by the productivity boost, with people saying they are shipping better code than ever before. The other half was expressing deep depression and embarrassment about the state of our industry.
Exactly. One person bravely admitted they run Claude all day and produce good stuff, but they are
thoroughly embarrassed by it, won't put their name on it, and might need to talk to a therapist about the whole thing. Another commenter pushed back hard, saying, if you spend a full year building a product with an LLM, you are going to get a good product. The AI slop we usually complain about comes from people who pump out an app in a month, call it a day, and never maintain it.
There were also the usual enterprise concerns. People asking why they would trust their company's knowledge base to a solo developer project that might get abandoned. But overall, having more open source, easily self-hosted communication tools is a massive win. And the fact that one developer can pull off a full Slack competitor with end-to-end encrypted voice and video built on LiveKit is just a testament to where developer tools are right now, AI-assisted or not.
Moving on to some massive legal news, John Deere owners will finally get the right to repair their equipment under an FTC settlement. This is a huge win for farmers and the right to repair movement in general.
For years, John Deere has locked down their tractors with software DRM. If a sensor went bad, a farmer could not just swap the part. They had to wait days for an authorized Deere technician to come out with proprietary software to unlock the new part, costing them thousands of dollars and precious harvesting time.
The FTC finally stepped in, and the comments on Hacker News were celebrating, but they also spent a lot of time praising Louis Rossman. He has been the loudest voice for the right to repair movement for over a decade, fighting against Apple, John Deere, and car manufacturers. Someone even brought up the Fulu Foundation he is involved with, which has a $25,000 bounty right now to get Ring cameras working without Amazon servers.
He really is a hero to the tech community. Though it was funny to see the Hacker News crowd dissecting his content strategy. A lot of people admitted they agree with everything he stands for, but they just cannot sit through his 20-minute rant videos. The consensus is that the Hacker News audience vastly prefers reading text over watching video.
Which makes total sense. Someone mentioned they browse Hacker News at work between GitHub action runs and compiling code, so they don't have time to put on headphones and watch a video. They want to skim an article in 1 minute. But as another commenter pointed out, it is incredibly hard to monetize text content these days. YouTube revenue share is what funds a lot of this activism.
True, and Lewis's passionate, sometimes abrasive style is exactly what makes him effective. One commenter quoted the movie Tron, saying Lewis fights for the users. It is a great reminder that sometimes we need these loud, uncompromising voices to push back against corporate overreach. You can't always be polite when you are fighting tech behemoths.
Next up, OpenAI officially introduced GPT Live. This is their new voice model, and it got nearly 700 points. We have been waiting for this since the early demos, and it looks like it is finally rolling out widely.
Simon Willison, a well-known developer in the community, chimed in on the thread and shared his beta testing experience. He took it on an hour-long dog walk and used it to brainstorm a project. The killer feature seems to be that the voice model can delegate complex questions to GPT 5.5 in the background, so you get the fast conversational voice interface, but it can tap into the frontier model's reasoning when needed.
That is a really smart architecture. But the funniest part of the thread was the discussion about AI personalities. Simon mentioned a bug where the AI was interrupting him and laughing at things that were not intended as jokes. He said it felt rude and condescending, which OpenAI thankfully clamped down on.
Right, and it sparked this whole debate about what we actually want these voice assistants to sound like. A lot of developers are actively rejecting the fake AI girlfriend or overly enthusiastic buddy persona. One user said they have their chat settings stripped down to zero fluff, and they want the voice to sound like the Star Trek computer, just a pure emotionless utility.
I loved that comment. They specifically mentioned Majel Barrett's voice from the Enterprise computer. Someone even generated a voice clone of her using a tool called Dots TTS and posted the audio clip. It was surprisingly accurate from just a short sample, though they noted the generation time was too slow for real-time interactive use right now. Another user said they have been wanting an ED-209 voice from RoboCop for their notifications for years, just that gritty, robotic enforcement tone.
It is fascinating how different user groups want completely different things. The general public might love a chatty, empathetic AI, but experts and developers just want terse, direct answers without the fluff. One user complained about agentic tools generating massive pages of corporate speak when a single bullet point would do. It's a big UI challenge for OpenAI to balance those preferences as voice becomes the primary interface.
Our final story today is the release of Grok 4.5 from xAI. This model is being positioned as their smartest model yet, specifically built for coding, agentic tasks, and knowledge work. they announced it was trained alongside Cursor, which is huge news for developers.
The benchmarks they released show it beating or matching models like GPT 5.5 and Claude Opus on things like SwebBench Pro. And it's incredibly cheap, $2 per million input tokens and $6 per million output tokens. The article mentions it serves at a blazing fast 80 tokens per second, and they claim it takes about 4 times fewer tokens to resolve a task compared to Claude.
It is also integrated right into Grok Build for generating complex Excel models and PowerPoint decks. It can supposedly use native PowerPoint shapes to build diagrams and leave sticky notes in Excel for future reference. From a technical standpoint, the integration with Cursor makes a lot of sense. But if you went into the Hacker News comments looking for a deep dive into the model's architecture or token efficiency, you probably left disappointed. The thread immediately devolved into a massive political debate about Elon Musk.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mess. One user left a highly upvoted comment expressing how depressing it is to see nonstop political arguments on a technical forum. They pointed out that developers happily use Chinese models like GLM without bringing up international politics, but the moment a Grok post goes up, no one talks about the tech. They asked, where have the hardcore nerds gone?
And the responses to that were just as polarized. Some people argued that you cannot separate the tech from the creator, especially when the creator is so loudly political and uses his platform to amplify certain views. They argued that everything is inherently political, including the datasets chosen to train these models.
On the flip side, others argued that if we apply purity tests to our tech stock, we would not be able to use anything. You use Claude, it runs on Amazon and Elon's GPUs. You use Codex, you are tied to Microsoft. They just want a space to discuss whether the model is actually good at writing Rust or C++ without the soapboxing.
It is a tension that Hacker News struggles with constantly. As tech becomes more intertwined with global power and politics, it is harder to keep the conversation strictly about the code. But regardless of the politics, Grok 4.5 being available in Cursor at that price point is going to force the rest of the market to respond. The AI price war is fully underway, and developers are the ones winning right now.
It certainly is, and it is a great time to be a developer, reaping the benefits of these cheap, powerful models. That is going to do it for today's episode of HN Pod.
Thank you all so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or a coworker. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the top stories and insights from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.
See you tomorrow.